Here we go!
You're listening to The Video Game Show on URN.
I am your host for the week, Mark. Our regular host. I'm going to say regular host. He's done two shows. This is my third. So actually, I'm going to say I'm your regular host now. Henry, this other guy who's sometimes here, isn't here at the moment. I'm here with the illest master of ceremony, Jack. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. It's been a quiet week, but I'm sure we have plenty to talk about today.
Yeah, it has been a quiet week. I'm here with the best from the West, because he hails from Wales. Dylan, what's going on?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay, actually, thanks. Yeah, it's been, like I said, not much is going on this week, but we've got things to talk about, and we've got a new special guest. He is everyone's favourite co-op partner from Gears of War. It's Dom.
Oh, it's lovely to be here.
Excellent. Dom, how you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful. It's nice to be on the gaming show, even though I'm not a massive gamer, so hopefully I can learn a bit of stuff.
What's everyone been playing? Like, we don't get a chance in this show very often just to talk about the stuff we're playing that isn't new or, you know, it's always about something recent. I mean, I don't know. I've been playing a lot of Witcher 3. I still haven't finished that game. I recently actually completed my entire Gwent set. I got that achievement.
Which is insane.
Yeah, it's took me far more time and effort than I care to put in. But it means that I now wreck up Gwent battles.
Can you now play a full spy deck? Because that's all I want in life.
Let's talk about Witcher
3. Yeah, I was going to say...
we're going to talk about what The Witcher 3 is...
Yeah, we've got Dom in here.
I was just can you educate a new person to this?
The Witcher 3 is a open-world RPG. It's set in an epic fantasy environment, so there's dwarves and elves and all sorts. It came out March 2015, and it's a monstrous game with a lot of gameplay in it. I think I started... From memory of where my first save file was, it's like August the 15th, 2015, I started The Witcher 3, and I'm still trying to play it in fits and starts. But it's a wicked game. If you're into big RPGs, sort of your Skyrim-style thing, it's well worth having a look at.
Well, it's expansive and you can explore. Get lost in it, basically.
Yeah, definitely. And there's so much stuff to do in it, you know? You can be walking around and stumble upon whole fascinating quest lines just by accident. Just
like go to finding frying pans. Best one in the game, finding that frying pan.
What's the frying pan?
Have you not done it?
Well, I don't know, because bearing in mind, there's 100 hours of game that I played a year ago.
Yeah, well, so you're walking around, and you come across to just a shack in the middle of nowhere, and this old lady's outside.
Oh.
And she's like, oh, no, yeah. my house. And you have to break in. And I think it's been robbed, or again, I've played this a long time ago. I think it got robbed or it burnt down or something. You go in, you have to find her treasured frying pan.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have to dive down to the bottom of the nearby lake to find this frying pan. It's an entire quest.
I remember going into a burnt-out house looking for something for an old lady. So maybe I did do that. Mate, it's been so long.
Because there's two frying pans. That's the twist of the. You find one, and she's like, "Nah, that's not my frying pan." And you have to find a second frying pan, which is frankly preposterous for a game.
Jack, have you been playing anything worth talking about?
I've been playing games, but I haven't really played anything new, partly because I don't have any money to go out and buy any new games. I've played a bit more NBA. It's a bit weird in the NBA game because you sort of have your girlfriend from high school, and she's with you for the majority of the your first season with your rookie team.
It's weird that you've got a girlfriend in a sports game.
What it is,
yeah.
It's weird because I got to the point now, just before the All-Star weekend, and your girlfriend comes over to you and she's like, oh yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm going to transfer to like a different university or whatever. It's upsetting.
That seems fair.
You're like, oh, how can she do this to me? But and then she leaves your little training
facility. You're better than her, man. You don't need her.
She leaves the training facility and I'm there like clutching at heartstrings being like, oh my gosh, she's broken up with me. And then your character in game goes away and celebrates. And I'm like, well, what's going on? So that's threw me off a bit.
She was holding you back, man.
I mean, yeah, sure.
She was holding you back.
She might have been, but yeah, I mean, apart from that, I haven't really been playing.
She's gonna go like start dating Shaquille O'Neal. Like that's my knowledge of basketball players. It comes down to Shaquille O'Neal, and that's about it. And is it Steph Curry?
Yeah,
he's recent, isn't he? People like him. I don't know. But have you been anybody been playing anything else?
So I think we mentioned it before last week. The games with gold this month are one of them is Murdered Soul Suspect.
Which is Trilby Extravaganza.
Exactly. So this is a game I've always been intrigued by, and I'll explain what it is in a minute. But I've always seen it, and it's been... That seems kind of interesting, but always £20 was a bit too much. I've said this to Jack before. £20's just a tiny bit too much for this game. But Xbox have answered our prayers and given us the free version.
Excellent.
And it's a
good old Xbox.
It's a detective game, but at the beginning you die.
Yeah.
So
spoilers.
Throughout the entirety of the game, you're ghost trying to find
you're
out
your
who
ghost. Yeah. Literally, yeah. The first thing you see is yourself falling out a window.
So the big pun in the title is it's murdered, colon, soul suspect, yeah. But it's not soul as in individual, it's soul as in, like...
Your soul, yeah.
Soul
yeah.
as in, you know...
soul as in
your,
soul.
Your essence.
Yeah. But yeah, it's...
You wear a trilby in that game.
Constantly, you can't... I don't think
it's
you
It's a
can,
hell of a trilby.
So far, from what I've played, we've not taken it off, so that's important to me.
Ghosts can't take off their trilbies, turns out.
Yeah. But yeah, it's using your ghost powers to solve your own murder, which is strange. You can also solve other crimes, which I've recently done.
Don't bother with that.
But well, no, I think you have to, because otherwise it's just kind of slow. But you could, like, fair. Possess just people in the environment. You could, I think you can become a cat at one point, I've seen.
That seems like something a ghost would do.
Just you so take over things and try and solve your own murder. It's a really strange game.
Is
but
it played from the third person perspective, yeah?
Yes.
It's a third person game. Yeah. And you sort of, yeah, okay. So I've seen some footage of this game when it came out.
But that is quite a cool concept, though. I think Torchwood, if anyone knows Torchwood.
Yeah.
Torchwood.
They had an episode like that in their first series where someone dies and he works out how he died.
Yeah, it is a really cool idea. I wonder if the game can carry what I'm going to guess is probably a 15-hour game off the back of it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it's like a tight sort of Call of Duty length experience if it's got other things you can do in it as well. Like, it's probably going to be... probably 10, 15
yeah, there's
hours,
like a little bit of expanded stuff, but I think because it's still you're following a storyline. It's got areas. I've not played that much at all so far, but like you go, it's kind of an open environment, but you reach a point and then it goes enter apartments or enter alleyway, and you got another loading screen, which is a little bit.
When did that game come out? Was it right near the end of the last generation?
A while ago now. Yeah, it was the end of Xbox 360.
It came out in 2014, in fact, and it was cross-generational, so... Yeah, that's why I would think it came out in the last generation. Yeah, I'd be interested to know where that developed, if you like it, if you don't like it, because it's an interesting premise.
I'm going to keep at it.
I'll tell you what else I've been playing, actually, which is it's a web-based game. It's called Cookie Clicker.
Oh, God.
So in Cookie Clicker, there's a cookie, and you click it, and it makes a cookie, and you get a cookie, and then you can use that cookie to buy something that will click once every 10 seconds for you. And then, you know, the more of those you buy, the more they cost. So the more you have to click, then the more they click for you. And then you can make grannies, and they'll make a cookie every second. So you have to make more grannies. And then from grannies, you can get cookie farms where you grow cookies.
Is there any skill required in this game?
You've got to be pretty good at clicking,
right? I
don't
know, mate. I can click pretty fast. It's from a genre of game called idle clickers, because the idea is you don't really play them. You just sort of click a button every now and then. But, I mean, at this point, I've got a whole team of specially trained wizards summoning cookies in another dimension.
I saw a screenshot recently from Cookie Clicker, and it was... because it's been around for quite a while now.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time.
So I don't know how long this guy had been playing it, but the screenshot was just, you know, it comes up with how many cookies you've clicked that second and how many you're clicking per second. And it was some number quadrillion per second.
What?
So they've been playing it quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, I'm up to, I get something like 10 million cookies a second.
Oh, man.
That sort of, I think, shows the kind of headspace we're all in. We're all working hard and stuff. None of us have really got money to go and do big things. So I'm messing around in browser games because I'm a lunatic. You're playing free Xbox games being ghosts. Your girlfriend broke up with you in NBA.
And I mean, I know that we're going to be talking about this a bit later, but Dom, do you want to just quickly tell us what you've been playing
the last week or so? This is it. This is the moment of truth. What's up?
I've been playing a game which I've been waiting months and months to come out. It's Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon.
So you've been playing both, right?
I may have bought both copies of the game.
So would it be fair to say that you quite like Pokemon?
It is one of my obsessions.
That's fair,
that and Doctor Who.
So
I think you can safely call me
you fit in here. What starter did you go for?
Well, you got a choice of three. You can go for Rowlet, who's a little owl, grass type.
Is he the one with the bow tie?
He evolves into someone with a bow tie.
Excellent, okay. I'm down with that.
Then you've got Litten, who's he's a fire cat.
I hear he's lit.
He is lit.
Yep.
There are so many memes about it. And there's a Popplio.
Popplio's the best man.
No, he's the sea lion.
Is it a sea lion?
Yeah. Come on, Jack.
Yeah, he's like a dog, seal, sea lion thing. Yeah. He's well cute. I love him.
He's not getting much love from the internet.
Yeah, I've seen
the internet. Can't trust them with anything.
I've seen some hate for him.
Have you seen his final evolution?
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't look
it's
as
not
great.
Cool as the other two. Let's just leave it there. Like, I've
to be fair, the final evolution of Lytton is just a cat man. It's basically Tiger from last week. King from last week.
He looks... Yeah, but I mean, he's just some hench cat on two legs and it looks amazing. Whereas I'm not really sure what to make of the final evolution of Popplio.
Whoa! I got the final evolution of Popplio up here on my screen.
What do you think of it?
It's unusual. No Man's Sky developers Hello Games have finally broken their long silence.
Yeah.
And they plan to put out a substantial update to No Man's Sky at some point in the next week. So, Jack, tell us a little bit about what No Man's Sky is all about, and then we can talk about why it's interesting that Hello Games are finally saying stuff, and then we could even have a quick rundown of what they're actually saying.
What No Man's Sky is, it's a open world planet explorer with, what is it, 15 quintillion?
Yeah, some outrageous number of planets. Yeah.
Planets, and
the promises before the game come out was saying that, you know, every planet's going to be different, and it's all going to be, you know, you can interact with the alien life form on there. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of promises made, you know, saying that, you know, it's highly unlikely that you'd ever see someone else on the same planet as you, but if you did, you'd be able to see them and you'd be able to interact with them. And then the whole story came out about these two players that were on the exact same planet at the same time, but they couldn't see each other. There's a lot of hate about how all of the planets are just retextured in different colours, and, you know, the rocks are maybe moved around a bit and there are different alien life forms on there.
But they are all, in essence, the same sort of background and it's promised a lot. And
would it be fair to say that it made the mistake of, instead of having 10 planets with hundreds of hours of interesting things to do on all of them, they had 15 quintillion planets with about 5 minutes worth of interesting content
per
planet.
That's exactly what it is,
Which is a shame, because it ends up meaning you do a lot of busy work to get nowhere fast, and people seem pretty burned by it.
Well, literally, the point in the game is essentially to keep playing the game at this point, isn't it?
It's everything you do
is to mean you can keep doing that stuff you're doing to keep doing it, which is
it's really
no point.
It follows that sort of survival game, Rust, Minecraft-y kind of thing of collect resources to get better, collect more resources, but even Minecraft has the Ender Dragon.
Yeah.
Like, even Minecraft has an end point where you can finish that game if you wanted to.
And Minecraft actually has multiplayer in it.
Yeah, whereas No Man's Sky, the big goal, the hugely hyped goal of getting to the centre of the galaxy, when people actually got there, you just get sent to a new galaxy. Yeah. It just says, hey, well done, do it again. I don't know. So as Jack rightly put out, there are a lot of things that weren't in the game that they said were going to be in the game. And developers Hello Games haven't really been saying much for a while now. They've declined to comment, their Twitter's gone dead. And yesterday, on their website, they put out a post that I'm going to read verbatim. It says, hello. This week, Hello Games will be releasing an update to No Man's Sky. We're calling it the Foundation Update because we have added the foundations of base building, and also because this is putting in place a foundation for things to come. Detailed patch notes will follow, and release will be soon. Coming from 5 years of intense development, immediately after No Man's Sky released, the team spent 6 weeks updating the game with 7 patches across both platforms. The last of these was patch 1.09 on September the 24th, which you can read about them all here. These fixed many of the most common or critical bugs and issues post-release. So yeah, when it came out, there was an issue with like frame rate performance on PC and a bunch of other stuff, so it was rough all over. In the 9 weeks since then, our small team, because it is only like 7 or 8 dudes, I think.
It's not many.
Has been hard at work on development, testing, and certification for the Foundation update. It won't be our biggest update, but it is the start of something, so that's interesting as well. It won't be their biggest update. The discussion around No Man's Sky since release has been intense and dramatic. We have been quiet, but we are listening and focusing on improving the game that our team loves and feels so passionately about. Positive or negative feedback, you have been heard, and that will truly help to make this a better game for everyone. This update will be the first small step in a longer journey. We hope you can join us. Thank you, Hello Games. So, to translate, No Man's Sky has been released as an early access game.
Basically,
is what that actually means.
Yeah.
So, for those who don't know, on Steam has a system whereby a developer can say, here, I've got a game, it's not done yet, I'm going to put it on Steam for early access, charge people as much as I want, they'll buy it, and then I'll be continually releasing updates for it, and it's not actually going to be finished. A lot of games have come out in early access. DayZ, the famous mod for Arma 2, where you fight zombies, was in early access for years and was incredibly successful. So what people didn't realise about No Man's Sky, it seems, is that when it came out in August, it wasn't actually finished, it seems. Because what they're saying now is they're going to keep updating it, keep adding more and more and more substantial things into it to make it I imagine, more in line with what they said it was going to be. Dom, tell us all about Pokemon. Is it, for a start, is it a good game?
It's, from what I've played so far, it is a very good game.
All right, cool, let's move on.
That's all right, I'll just be out of the studio, it's all good.
Yeah, mate, tell us about Pokemon, man. It seems cool.
Well, I mean, it's one of my big obsessions in life. Played it, we were just saying, it's been out since, what, 1995?
Yeah.
Which is when a lot of us were born.
Yeah. Yeah,
so man, we've kind of grown up with it. Those of you who don't know and live under a rock, Pokemon is kind of a big role-playing game. You travel through a region, you can catch little monsters and make them battle each other.
Pocket monsters, in fact.
Yeah, it's called Pocket
exactly
Monsters.
Exactly what they are, yep.
That's what it's called in Japanese.
Yeah.
It's a very good game. You become friends with your little monsters. This sounds really sad now I'm saying it out loud, doesn't it?
No, it's,
and you battle
it sounds
gyms,
great to me.
And you battle gyms to win a gym badge, and you get the final challenge at the end of the game, which is against the Elite Four, which are the very strong Pokemon trainers.
Yeah, they're the best in the region, aren't they?
They are the best in the region.
But it's all about growing up and going on an adventure, isn't it? Like, you start off at 11 years old, you're allowed to get your first Pokemon, and you go on an adventure, and you destroy forces of evil, and you become the best.
It's a large sense of freedom
in
the game.
You talk about growing up. I don't think Ash Ketchum's grown a single year for the entirety of the TV series. I think every single TV series that they release, they refer to him as being, what is it, 11, 12 years old, and he never grows old, which...
Have you heard some of the fan theories about how he stays that same age in the TV show?
The first episode, there's two main ones from the first episode. He sees the legendary Pokemon Ho-Oh.
Yeah, who can grant a wish, can he not?
And he can grant a wish, and Ash may have wished to carry on being a Pokemon trainer forever. And then Ho-Oh grants his wish.
Yeah.
Well, there's the bleak version where he got struck by lightning and he's currently in a coma imagining all of this.
That one's pretty good. Because then you can finish Pokemon where, like, he wakes up and he's a man with, like, a beard and long hair, and he has to then just try and survive in a world where he's no longer young and full of adventure. That would be a pretty bleak ending to Pokemon, wouldn't
it? Quite sad, yeah.
So, yeah, what's Pokemon Sun and Moon? So all Pokemon games come out in pairs.
They do come out in pairs.
What's up with the new region in this one?
The new region, every region is based off a different area in the world. So Black and White was based off New York. The earlier games were based on different parts of Japan.
Yeah.
This one is based off Hawaii, and it's called the Alola region.
Of course it is.
Because it's basically Aloha.
Yeah.
And they had to be really original with it. But things normally, their Pokemon games are quite formulaic.
Yeah, that's fair.
Very structured. It's samey, but this time they've really shaken up. To be fair, they've the dreaded HMs, which are
hidden machines,
which as a child I had no idea what that stood for. You teach them to your Pokemon, and it lets them have overworld effects. So you can cut down trees, or you can surf on water. And normally these moves are terrible moves. Any sane battler would never have them on their Pokemon to battle with. So you would just have something called an HM slave, which is just a redundant Pokemon, such as Farfetch'd.
Yep.
Where you teach them all of these rubbish moves and
something
just never
they
use
can
them.
Have like cut and like fly and some other bits all
match
at the same
time.
That's
a pretty good one because you've got strength, rock smash, and like rock climb in the later ones as well. And it's
rock smash
weird.
Is a terrible move.
Yeah.
40 base power.
Yep.
So yeah, what's changed about HMs in this new one?
Well, in HMs there are no HMs at all. So you have a little device called a Poke. What's it called? Poke Gear, Poke Bright, Poke Gear. I think it means you can summon up a random Pokemon. Well, not a random, but according to what is needed at the time, you can summon the Pokemon. So such as Lapras, and you can surf on Lapras.
Okay.
Or if you want to fly somewhere, you call Charizard, and you can fly.
That sounds really smart.
It's really good. The Pokemon, you see them as overworld Pokemon as well, which is always a lovely thing in Pokemon.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's been cool since the first game, when there were only four overworld sprites for Pokemon.
Yeah. And there was, what was it? It was Gen 2, where your Pokemon would walk behind you.
Mm. Yeah. That's what I've heard the most about this new generation, is that there are a bunch of quality of life improvements that should have happened a lot earlier. Things like it now, if you use a move against a Pokemon that comes out super effective or not effective, next time you fight that face that Pokemon, it will say on that move. So like it now remembers for you, yeah, and things like that. Which, like, I get some people have memorized all those type lists and stuff like that, but it seems like a really, really smart move to make that game infinitely more approachable.
It's good for the newer players, isn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely. I'd have to say, if you're young and you don't really know the type matchups either, you'll end up using a not very effective move constantly on a Pokemon.
Yeah. Especially sometimes as well, if it just like seems like a cool move. I know when I was first playing Pokemon, I'd just use the moves I thought were coolest, and it's like, why isn't this working? It's
flamethrower every time.
It should be cool. Yeah. Flamethrower against everything.
Thunderbolt every time.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, it seems like they've made some really smart moves in that.
And I mean, there's lots of different mechanics which they've kind of added in. The storyline is different as well. It's not the you find the first gym, battle it, go to the next gym. There are no gyms either.
What?
Yeah, exactly. There are no gyms.
My mind is blown. Handle this.
How do you, like, earn badges then? Or is there no badges?
There's a different type of equivalent. So you come in to your... You've come in on a plane, which is cool, and you're new to the Alola region. And there are four islands in the Alola region. And you make your way through one island and do different challenges within that island. So they could be random things like taking pictures of Pokemon. Big shout out to Pokemon Snap.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm into that.
Taking pictures of Pokemon, battling different trainers. And at the end of it, there's something called a Totem Pokemon, which is a big, beefed up, leveled up Pokemon, which you then have the right to fight at the end. And he can call upon random Pokemon in the middle of the battle to fight with him. So you could have three or four different Pokemon fighting you at once. And it's mad. I played the demo, and that happened, and I was like, wait, hang on a minute. Why am I fighting two Pokemon now?
This week, because we conducted our interview with an F1 YouTuber, pillar of the YouTube community, and he told us all about some of his favourite video game vehicles, we're going to talk about our favourite video game vehicles, aren't we?
Jack. Yeah, we are indeed. I've got a clip here if you want to hear what our interviewee Arava had to say about his favorite.
I'd love to.
His favorite video game vehicle. So here it is. This is Arava telling us all about his favorite video game vehicle.
What is your favorite video game vehicle that you would like to have inducted into our Hall of Game, and why?
Oof, that's a tough one. It'd probably have to be a car from one of my childhood games, I think, because honestly, F1's only been around for about 5 years in my life. I think I'd have to probably say, looking back on what I really remember, probably the Aston Martin Vanquish from 007 Nightfire, and generally the 007 PS2 games, because back in the day, 007 Nightfire was the stuff, you know, on PS2. Everyone knew that game, everyone had that game, and there was this one entire level where they had the Vanquish with, you know, all the turrets, the guns, and all the gadgets, and I still remember that to this day. So I would have to say Aston Martin Vanquish.
So yeah, that was Arava. Get over to his YouTube channel, look at some of his videos. He plays a lot of F1 games. He's a really interesting guy. We've got an interview going up with him. And his favourite vehicle is the Aston Martin Vanquish from 007 Nightfire.
Yeah, good one.
Great game. Car, great brilliant. Game, huge yeah. shout. I'm well
not
impressed
really
to get up
to
with
that. Not
that
is brilliant.
So, Dylan, we all know what yours is going to be.
No, oh, it's pretty
so
obvious, isn't
just,
it?
Yeah. Just tell us and then we'll move on.
It is the M12 Force Application Vehicle. Otherwise known as the Warthog from Halo. So this vehicle is the car from Halo, essentially. If you've played it, you'll know what it is. It is literally just a car. Some of them have a gun on the back.
Oh, it's so good though, isn't it?
But
like,
it
handles
best.
Like nobody's yeah. business.
As the wiki says, while some may think it unwieldy, in the right hands it is fast and very well controlled and can turn on a dime.
Jack, what's your favourite video game vehicle?
Well, following in a similar vein to Dylan, he's inducted his second member from the Halo series into the Hall of Game. I'm going to induct my second member from the Call of Duty series, and it is, of course, the one and only AC-130, which I think is just brilliant. You know, I was contemplating whether I was like, well, wait a minute, it's a vehicle. It's not a vehicle in the sense that it gets you from A to B quickly. It's a vehicle in the sense that it helps you blow up a lot of people on the floor when you're playing multiplayer on Call of Duty. I mean, it's in a couple of the story mode missions as well, of Modern Warfare 1, 2, and I believe 3. Don't quote me on that, but I believe, it's in Modern Warfare 1, which is the mission where Death from Above
you're trying to escort your team through this like
village, I guess.
Village, yeah. Sort of, you're trying to get them to the helicopters to pick them up, and you're essentially the gunner in this massive, massive aircraft.
It was the Lockheed AC-130 yeah. Spectre, spooky Ghost Rider or Stinger 2. I've got its Wikipedia page up here. It's got some great names.
Yeah, I mean, so it's got three guns on it. It's got the 105mm cannon. You also have a 40mm autocannon, which creates sort of smaller rockets, and then you've got the 25mm Gatling gun.
Dom, do you have a favourite vehicle for us?
I do indeed. It's a personal one. It's a speed machine. Okay. It is from the original Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. And okay. This is the car, when I played with my brother, he would always be the police car because he's older, so he got to choose. And I'd run away from him. The car, my go-to car, was the Dodge Viper SRT.
From Need for Speed Hot Pursuit?
Yeah.
Wicked.
And it only comes in red. And you have to get it with its go faster stripes.
Of course.
Because it goes faster with them.
Yep. That is literally what that name means, yeah.
It wasn't a very fast car. It's just I love the look of it. And I loved how it sounded when it would come up over the tannoy and you'd hear the police radio going, "Police in pursuit of a red Dodge Viper SRT."
What about you, Mark?
What about me? I picked an interesting car, actually. I kept trying to think about different vehicles in games that I've loved piloting, and it kept coming back to a really bizarre one. I'm going to say the name of it, and Dylan's going to get really excited, and then I'm going to reveal it's not actually what he thinks it is.
I'm going to embarrass myself now.
It is the Banshee.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not the Banshee from Halo. It is. I played a lot of GTA San Andreas.
Okay, yeah.
And in GTA San Andreas, the Banshee wasn't the fastest car, but it had the best speed-to-handling ratio, beautiful acceleration. It was modded on a Porsche, always came in convertible, always came with a racing stripe, had the best mods in the garage. And though, yeah, it wasn't the fastest, it was probably the best handling car in that entire game.
It's a brilliant
car. It was great. Like, I've played probably 100, 200 hours of GTA San Andreas.
Too much.
More than I feel comfortable admitting, if I'm honest. And it was always like, first thing you do, go find a Banshee. I think I still know where at least two of them just spawn in the world. They're incredible vehicles. The Banshee from San Andreas is just... And it just canes. I won most of the races in that game using the Banshee.